Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Fans coming to their feet, those that remain. Here's the set. The runners go, the pitch. Swinging a pop-up. Shallow left field, should do it. Hilliard calling for it, the left fielder there. He makes the catch, and the game is over. The Nationals' comeback bid falls short. 10-6 the final. The Nationals, for only the second time in their history, have a losing streak of 10 games.
All right, a great song. I want you back. Little Jackson 5 instrumental version. Unfortunately, not a great way to come back for a final hour of the week and a final hour of power. Here on a Wednesday afternoon. With the rain coming down and storms in the area. Hey, the Nationals might not lose tonight, boys and girls.
Because of a rain delay?
Because of a rain out, right? I mean, maybe their best chance to win tonight is for the... You know,
a moral victory.
The baseball gods to pour down on them. Yeah. Dave Jagler on the call.
Do you like any music from the 21st century? Real quick, just a.
Oh, God. You're pretty funny sometimes.
No, I just. Because I've never heard you say, like, I do bump back music. I think I have. A few good tunes, and every time I play music from 2000 and after, there's no remark. But if it's like the 70s or 80s, it's you seem quite fine. So, did your ears stop working in the year 2000?
Wow. Like, I mean, look at this guy, the nerve on you. I mean, like, what is this all about? What is this Pearl Harbor job about? I mean, did you think I just like stopped living when I turned 30?
Pearl Harbor's, that was a bit much.
I mean, like, I love all sorts of music. The difference is I love really good music. Good ditties. Not P. Diddy, good ditties.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to throw you off on there. Go ahead and
you know what I'm talking about, right? I love good music. I love so many great songs that have been made post-2000 in the last 25 years. Right? Love so many songs. Don't love all of them, but love so many. So many different artists, so many different genres.
Can I get some examples post-2000?
Sure. I'm a huge Zac Brown Band guy. I love Kenny Chesney. Some of the songs I hear on PGC in our speaker system. I don't know the names of them, but I like the songs. Right? I am a connoisseur of really quality entertainment. You better be good, or I am gonna go click. None of this, it takes a movie 30 minutes to get good. Uh-uh. No thanks. I'm out. I don't have 30 minutes to waste. If a song sucks and a song isn't catchy, it ain't going in my rotation, I tell you that much. But yeah, do I have a tendency to like 70s and 80s music a little bit more than the average bear? Sure. I'm 51 years old. That's the music I grew up with. That's the music I was influenced by. Even the 60s, because that was what my dad listened to. Because that was the music, oh, by the way, that he grew up with. I think you're just a little salty because I don't like Lil Baby and Lil Primetime and Lil...
I don't know where you got that
Lil Nazi and all the stuff that you like.
I've never said I like those artists, so I don't know where you got that.
I don't know. I mean, you play a lot of Kendrick Lamar. You play a lot of other songs, and some of them are
Pulitzer Prize winner Kendrick Lamar.
Some of them are catchy, and some of them are like, oh, I am really out of touch with what's popular.
I like that, out of touch.
Or
no,
I'm real.
You got
or
it.
There's another way to look at it. I am in touch with really, really good music and really good entertainment. In touch. Not out of touch. In touch. Just kind of depends on your perspective.
I'm going to take you to a festival. You're going to take me to a Nats game to see how poor entertainment is.
What
really
kind of
done.
Festival are we going to?
Music festival.
What kind?
I mean, it's a music festival, you know. There's like
All sorts of different music.
No, see,
there's one Nationals game.
See,
or one Nationals park.
I'm an eclectic man. I have different tastes.
Are we going
music.
To? Are we going to Jiffy Lube Live the next time Zach Brown Band shows up?
I'm not too familiar with Zach.
Luke Bryant.
Luke Bryant, I'm a little familiar.
A little familiar. Okay. Yeah. See, if you wanted to make me happy, you would play all the songs that, yeah, I grew up with or that I like, that are important to me.
They're very specific to you.
I would also say this. I don't listen to a lot of new music because, A, it's just not really for me. B, I am a connoisseur of my craft. I like listening to sports talk radio, even if it's not what I do or what I find necessarily entertaining, because I like to get ideas. I like to hear different perspectives. I like to let it marinate, and maybe I pick up an idea, or maybe I think of, oh, wait a second, that person said that. I don't really agree with that. Let me bring that up as a point. I like my craft. So I'm on the phone a lot with my kids when I'm driving. But again, I also listen to a lot of sports talk radio, so that limits the amount of time that I can listen to music. And quite honestly, when I listen to music, I'm going to listen to what I know I like, not what I may like, not what AMAC may like, not what a 22-year-old, male, female, white, black, whatever, might like. I'm going to listen to what I like and what I know. It's like a lot of people when they're going out to a restaurant, right? If you're not familiar with, if you're not sure whether you like sushi or not, most people don't seek out going to a sushi-style restaurant. Like, I would never, because I don't believe, while I've had it in small sample size, and very small, very limited, there's nothing appealing about it. For me. But yet people love it. My daughter gets it every week. She loves it. I don't know why. I don't know how. But she does. But you wouldn't seek it out because there's so many other options. So that's where we are. By the way, there is a... Before we get into Mike Rizzo and my guy, Athan, reminded me of it. Muriel Bowser, a couple of people sent this to me. AMAC, I think actually you sent this to me as well. On her official Twitter account, said DC is projected to lose 40,000 jobs in the next 4 years. We've secured control of RFK and a once-in-a-generation deal with the Commanders, the largest private investment in DC history. We can't afford to wait. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We must deliver for DC. Boy, is Muriel Bowser a good politician, huh? She's got a deal that she agreed to that defines her legacy forever and ever and ever and ever. I brought the Commanders home. The Commanders are home because of me, because I wouldn't stop. And Josh Harris invested, or his group, invested $2.7 billion. But damned if you wait until July 20th, or July 25th, or August 10th, or August 28th. Oh, damned if you try and change materially the terms of the deal, or say, we're willing to front the money, but we don't like the fact that the Commanders are only paying $1 a month, $1 a year in rent. See, Muriel Bowser, the mayor of D.C., wants her legacy to be defined as, again, the person that brought the Commanders back home, the former Redskins back home. And there is a financial gain. There is a financial deal to be had here. And I largely believe it's a good financial deal for the district, for the city, for everybody. But the notion that there is nothing to see here, nothing to question, nothing to pause, nothing to go, really? Is that, are we sure about this? Are we sure about this? Is a little ridiculous. They are playing hardline tactic negotiations. It's what the learners have. What the Lerner ownership group has done for years. Mentioned this yesterday. Mentioned this on Twitter. Nobody cared. Went right over everybody's head. The Lerners have held basically a hardline negotiating stance on so many things that have ruined the Washington Nationals. That have absolutely seen billions, millions, if not close to $1 billion off the table. Because they wouldn't refuse to budge. They said it's my way or no way. That's the truth. People don't want to admit that. That's the truth. Muriel Bowser saying, look, we agreed to a deal. July 15th, we agreed to a deal. No material changes. We agreed to a deal. $1 a month, $1 a year in rent. We agreed to a deal. This job is, this deal is great for D.C., she never mentions that it's great for her legacy. But this deal is great for D.C. Nothing to see here. Nothing to bitch about. Nothing to squabble about. Oh, really? That's not how everybody sees it. And just because they don't see it the way you see it doesn't mean that they're bad people or bad politicians. Maybe it just means it's not the right time, or that they need more time, or that they need something, like it's a negotiation, to navigate the murky waters. And remember this, as I said yesterday or Monday, whenever, and I've probably said a couple of times, she did not negotiate this deal with Phil Mendelson and the D.C. City Council. If she did, then she would have every right to say, July 15th is it, man. No material changes. Or we lose exclusivity. She didn't negotiate with them. She negotiated with the Commanders. With Josh Harris. Not with the D.C. City Council. So this notion that just because you lose a period of exclusivity, just because they're not moving at the pace you want them to move, that doesn't mean anything. That's what she agreed to. That's what they agreed to, the Commanders. Not what the D.C. City Council agreed to. If the D.C. City Council was involved in the negotiations and they agreed to a deal and then said, oh, no, we got to vote on this thing, but we need more time. We're likely going to vote on it, but we need more time. Well, we need some changes. Well, then that's on them. They didn't agree to this. They didn't negotiate this. And yet Muriel Bowser and the public at large, and certainly the Commanders, who are infuriated and pissed and this and that, all want everybody to run around and go, how high, when they say jump? That's what they want. And that's not fair. I mean, we pride ourselves on thinking outside the box on this show. I'm not telling you we're wrong, right all the time. We're certainly not wrong as much as some of you numbnuts think we are, or I am. I am way more right than I am wrong. I don't know what the percentage is, but I am way more right than I am wrong. That doesn't mean I'm always right. But this notion that the D.C. City Council should not have any questions, should not have any hesitation, should not have any concerns, should not be able to extend this past July 15th because she said so, because the commander said so, get lost. Get lost. That's absurd. That's absurd. Again, they didn't agree to this. They weren't negotiating this. They weren't privy to this. Why should they just roll over and play dead? Again, I hope they approve it. And I hope it's on time. And I hope the stadium gets built. I'm all for the project. But let's be real, people. Let's be honest. Let's stop being scared. And let's stop being dumb and ignorant and just sheep that say, whatever the commanders think, whatever Muriel Bowser thinks, great. No questions asked. Fine. Let's do it. Let's put a shovel in the ground. It doesn't work that way. The world does not work that way. The world does not work that way. I mean, again, she may have been late in turning in the budget. That's what they say. I don't know. I said yesterday or Monday, I damn well better not hear about Phil Mendelson taking 2 weeks off on vacation. If July 15th is such a problem, no vacation for you, sir. Not a single day off, sir. The hell with your summer vacation. You want more time to examine? You better be working. You better get to stepping. All of you. See, that's the difference between me and others. I can want something, but I have the smarts, the common sense, the reasonable mind to say, yeah, but there's problems here. I want this done, but it doesn't mean it has to be done the way one side dictates that it should get done. Same thing for the Terry McLaurin situation. I can't tell you how many people in the media and fans have said over the last couple of weeks, just get it done. Doesn't matter what it costs. Just get it done. Just pay Terry. Really? You want to pay Terry more than Justin Jefferson gets paid? You do? Oh, okay. Just get it done. Who cares? What's another couple of million dollars every year for 5 years or 4 years? Nothing to see here. It's the dumbest and most rudimentary and most bottom-level pond scum approach to everything. Nothing to see here. Don't ask any questions. Don't take a deep breath. Don't worry about anything. Nothing to ask questions about. It's the same thing. It's the same exact thing. Again, I want Terry McLaurin's contract extension to get done. I want RFK to be built, RFK 2.0 to be built. Doesn't mean I don't have questions. Doesn't mean there shouldn't be hesitation. Doesn't mean there shouldn't be problems or negotiations. Just because you want something done or you want to get something doesn't mean it happens on your timeline all the time. And that's what many others in the media, print, radio, TV, none of them will tell you that. I'll tell you that. Whether you like it or you don't like it, it's the damn truth. And that's the bottom line, because the damn rooster said so on the Team 980.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I'll forget you, baby. Mm-hmm. Good to have you with us. AMAC just saw something interesting, which we will have for you in the trending alert coming up when it has something to do with the Commanders. Not a move, not a signing, but something to do with the Commanders. We'll have that for you in just a couple of minutes. And we'll get to our guy, Athan in Annapolis, my favorite guy. Coming up shortly. But first, we've been telling you Mike Rizzo, weekly guest on the Junkies right here on the Team 980, 6 to 10 every Monday through Friday, every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Must listen, whether it's good, bad, whatever, in terms of the record. But today especially, 10-game losing streak, and Davey Martinez under fire for what he said on Saturday after the game, which we've talked about throughout the week so far. Here's Mike Rizzo with the Junks on what Davey Martinez said Saturday.
It's hard to lose 10 in a row. You guys obviously are in a bad stretch. But after the Marlins series, when Davey made those comments, and obviously the media went crazy with it, when he made the comments about don't blaming the coaches, you got to look at the players, they got to play better. Did you agree with that when you heard that?
Yeah, here's my take on that. It's, you know, Dave Martinez is as player-friendly managers I've ever had. You know, he and Dusty Baker, to me, run the clubhouse like no one else I've ever had in my career. So when you talk about, you know, one of the, you know, player managers in the league, Davey's one of them. This guy does 500, 600 interviews a year. You know, he does two a day, pregame, postgame, every time. And, you know, he's flawless. But, you know, he got caught in a frustrating, frustrating, angry, you know, we were six or seven, eight in a row at that time. And got caught in a frustrated moment and kind of lashed out. And I think it was out of frustration. Here's my take on that situation. There's onus on the players. There's onus on the coaches. There's onus on the manager, and there's a great onus on the general manager to do a better job. We all got to look in the mirror. You lose 10 games in a row. You said at the beginning, it's hard to lose 10 games in a row. I've never lost 10 games in a row. This is my 43rd year in professional baseball. I've never lost 10 in a row. It's tough.
All right, that is Mike Rizzo. That is just one cut. You will hear more on the other side. But first, we get back to the phones. And we connect with my guy, Double A, Athan, in Annapolis. What's up, Double A?
I tell you what, you know how Paulie, you know, sometimes like when you come back from break, like you'll play that putt, that bit that he has where it says, and that's the problem with the Knicks, and that's the problem with Chris Russell. Mm-hmm. You know, that's because Paulie is that relevant when he comes on your show. And it's just like John from Oklahoma and Dr. Sabah and G from the Shop and Lap and Jason from Laurel and all, me leaving out a lot of extra people. I am that relevant, so I appreciate being talked about, even being called a Benedict Arnold.
Let me stop you right there, because you know I love you. I did not call you a Benedict Arnold. I said I wasn't going to call you a Benedict Arnold, but I have to tweak your horns a little bit from time to time.
Hey, listen, Marcus and Brandywine, he's awesome. He's entitled to his opinion. And see, here's the thing. I want this team to be successful, but what I want is sustained success. And you were working with Linnell last year, and I sent you guys a stat about how the Cowboys had beaten us like a 3-1 edge over the past 25 years in divisional games. And like Philly was like 2-1 and the Giants 2-1, basically being owned in the division. I'm entitled to my opinion. I've been wrong plenty of times. I thought Marcus Mariota was going to be awful last year. I'm the dumb of the day who said trade our picks to trade down and take Penix and rebuild the team that way. How would that have gone over? So I've been wrong plenty of times. But what I want to see is this team have sustained success. And as a football fan first, not a Washington fan, but a football fan, you give them their credit for playing above what their expectations were last year, but it also at the same time, they did have a soft schedule, okay? And now I want to see if they can have sustained success against other good teams. And my point is no, they have not done enough yet, at least on defense. To your point, they need to add a Za'Darius Smith. I don't think a 36-year-old Von Miller is going to do that much, but what do I know? But I am entitled to my opinion because I did go to four games last year. And the other thing is, I will never buy anything, like I've said, apparel-wise for this team as long as they have that cancel culture name, but I will support the team because they're Washington, and they do need me because I help pay the bills because I have bought tickets to the game. So what I'm looking for is sustained success, not that Tony Romo breaks his collarbone, and that's the reason we backdoor 9-7 into the win an NFC East in 2015, not because we play the worst quarterbacks in football in 2020 down the stretch and nobody has a quarterback and we go 7-9. I'm looking for what's real, what's pure, and I think they're on the right path. They got the right coach, they got the right owner, what have you. And last thing I'll say is people like Mario Bowser, consider your audience. Look at who you're talking to, because now she's got to work more than banker hours because her proposal was late or whatever they're accusing her of, and it might not get done. That might be part of her legacy, Chris, that she didn't get it done because they'll blame her for not having the budget in on time. Imagine that.
That's a very fair point. And I was something I was worried about, especially with this hard deadline of July 15th. Excellent call, my friend. You know that I never view you as such as Benedict Arnold.
That's reserved for Linus. That's reserved for Linus.
Well, you know, I would say that if his phone actually worked, but, you know, I mean.
Well, that involves paying your bill, but, you know, he thinks healthcare should be free, so maybe he's boycotting phones now.
He should go to Canada or something like that.
Exactly. You
know, maybe he would be better off there. Thank you, pal. Appreciate you.
You got it.
All right, that is Athan. In Annapolis. Double A. I did not call him Benedict. I just said I would not call him Benedict Arnold. Maybe I kind of twisted it in my wordology in such a way that it was taken as such. I don't know.
Hey, we're not in court, you know?
Yeah. Coming up, dumb of the day, but we still have one full segment to go, and you're going to hear more from Mike Rizzo, the Nationals president and general manager, on with the Junks this morning. But first, a trending alert. Speaking of those Nationals, you just heard a little bit from Mike Rizzo. You'll hear more coming up. Riding a 10-game losing streak. And, it might be pray for rain and storms tonight. 6:45, the scheduled first pitch here in the Navy Yard. 30-43 Nats, losers of 10 in a row against the 16-57 and somewhat surging. Yes, the Rockies have won three in a row, including Sunday in Atlanta, a 10-run outburst, and then two pretty dominant, at least last night was a dominant win over the Nationals. They belted four home runs in the seventh inning to break it open. Again, 6:45, the scheduled first pitch, 106.7, the fan, Mitchell Parker on the mound for the Washington Nationals. Stanley Cup final wrapped up. If you missed our conversation about why the Caps couldn't match up with the Florida Panthers, who won their second Stanley Cup in a row, go back and check it out on Odyssey Rewind or on the podcasts, theteam980.com or the Odyssey app on the Team980 or anywhere you get your podcast. It is available for you in the 1 o'clock hour. NBA Finals Game 6 coming up tomorrow night in Indiana. Chance to win the Larry O'Brien Trophy for the first time for the Oklahoma City Thunder. 8:30, the tip in that one. And finally, from the NFL, we spent some time talking about this. Jair Alexander agreeing to terms and signing a contract 1 year, worth about $4 million base with a chance to make a couple more in incentives with the Baltimore Ravens. And that's what's trending.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Am I allowed to like this song? Am I allowed? When was this song made? Miley Cyrus, Party in the USA. Any idea?
Wasn't in the 70s or 80s.
No, I know that. I mean, it had to be like right around early 2000s, somewhere in that range. Maybe 2005, somewhere in that range. I guess that's not early 2000s, but let me see here. I once saw her dad, Billy Ray Cyrus, in concert in Las Vegas. I did.
Sounds like a lot of beer and a little bit of clothing.
I was young at the time. It was part of a show.
No one's going to see Billy Ray Cyrus in the last like 10 years.
Probably not. Party in the USA was, let me say, hiya. It was released 2009. Wow, that's later than I thought. Okay. All right, there you go. But I like that song. Does that make me cool again or no?
No.
Well, why'd you play it then if you don't like it?
It's not much I have to choose from within the confines of our system.
We have every song.
It's not a bad song, though, but I wouldn't say like, no one's putting Party in the USA on the aux and everybody's like, oh, what's this? Like, no one's like, pass me the aux and then Party in the USA comes on. That ain't happening.
Okay.
You know where it is being played, though? Baseball games.
Yes, but you know what I forgot to do? I just realized I screwed up. I was supposed to give this during the trending alert and I messed up. You sent me a tweet from Tom Pelissero. That had the full schedule of the joint practices in the NFL coming up in training camp. And as we kind of thought, the Commanders are going to practice in Foxborough, which is the practice fields are connected to Gillette Stadium. When I was there for the Army-Navy game, I figured that out. And they are going to practice with the New England Patriots on August 6th, starting on August 6th. What I don't have is how many practices there is going to be, but I would imagine there's going to be two. I would imagine there's going to be two in Foxborough, and then the preseason game, which means nobody's going to play in the preseason game.
No, they have Baltimore on the 21st, so it's one in.
No, but the way this schedule is listed is first session, not the only session. First session of the joint practices, August 6th, Washington at New England in Foxborough.
I see what you're
saying. And then, to your point, here in Ashburn on August 21st, maybe possibly more than that, although I don't think so, Baltimore at Washington in Ashburn. Now, what I have to check is the Commanders' preseason schedule. And match up those dates because, again, that's only listing the first session in the Tom Pelissero table chart. So they have the Patriots on Friday, August 8th. So they're going to go up there on Wednesday, August 6th. So actually, see, because it's preseason, it's a little bit different. So they might actually have two sessions, meaning Wednesday, August 6th and Thursday, August 7th. and then the preseason game on Friday, August 8th, up in New England, because anybody that practices really hard of a veteran nature is not going to play in that first preseason game. So normally the day before a game would be a non-practice, would be a walkthrough. My guess is they'll probably have two practice sessions in Foxborough. That's my guess. Then if you look at the schedule, they play on after playing that Friday night, and again, nobody important will play in that game. Jaden won't play, Deron Payne, so on and so forth. Then they host the Bengals for Monday Night Football on August 18th at Northwest Stadium. Then they're scheduled to play the Ravens at noon the following Saturday. You want to talk about your short weeks? That's it, boys and girls. Monday night to Saturday afternoon at noon. And in between all that, they have a scheduled joint practice first day session on August 21st with the Ravens. That's Thursday. I would be willing to bet, because of the proximity, because of everything, that the Ravens aren't going to be here on Friday, August 22nd, to do any sort of joint practice. So I would be willing to probably guess, I don't know, the New England Patriots will be a two-day joint practice Then the preseason game on that Friday night, August 8th. Then you play a week and a half later, Monday Night Football against the Bengals. Then a super short week to the Ravens on Saturday at noon at home. But that Thursday, August 21st, will be the joint practice. That'll be a full practice. That'll probably be a padded practice. But Friday, they probably won't have anything. And if they have anything, it would be a very, very, very light practice. But I'd guess that they probably have two pretty good joint practices up in New England. And then nobody of any consequence plays in that first preseason game. I mean, you have a better chance of seeing Santa Claus than Jaden Daniels play in that first preseason game. Not happening. Not happening. So that's what I wanted to get to. Coming up, Dumb Dumb of the Day. You know what? I almost just gave it away. It's a lovely day. We'll tell you about it in 10 minutes before we turn things over to Craig Hoffman. But first, we get to Eddie in Virginia. Is this Eddie in Centerville? Eddie? Hello? Eddie? Oh, Eddie. Oh, Eddie. No Eddie. All right. Well, scratch that plan. Let's hear from Mike Rizzo. The other cut that you sent me, I think it's cut two, if I'm not mistaken. Mike Rizzo on with the Junkies earlier today. And the boys did a good job. I think they asked him every question that I could reasonably think of. There's some pushback on when the rebuild started. Mike Rizzo said it was when they made the trade for Juan Soto. There's a lot of evidence that suggests it was before that. Why don't you take a listen?
Their teams this year were really struggling, and they fired their managers. So they fired Colorado, fired Bud Black. Not that the new guy is going to do much. I mean, I don't think the new guy is going to come in and drastically change the success of that team. Pittsburgh did the same thing with Shelton. Baltimore did the same thing with Hyde. So you're saying that even though you've lost 10, Davey's still your guy. You can't make a change. It's not going to – it's worthless.
Here's what I'll say about that. Pittsburgh, you know, Pittsburgh hasn't won a World Series since we are family. Colorado's never won a World Series. And Baltimore, Davey Johnson was the last guy who won a World Series with Baltimore. This guy is proven through trials and tribulations that he can handle a roster, he can handle a veteran laden team, and he's developing at the big league level. And my track record is I have fired managers in midseason. I have fired managers after season. I have fired coaches midseason. I have fired coaches after the season. We're all being evaluated. You know, we all got to look ourselves in the mirror. And we are at a point right now where we're moving forward with our development of these young kids. I think Davey still has the pulse of the clubhouse. He's a great clubhouse presence, and he's a calming presence. And I think that once we get through this thing and win a couple of games, which we will, that we can right the ship and continue progressing towards winning a championship, whenever that is.
All right, that is Mike Rizzo on with the Junkies. I thought that was a good question by Lurch, Jason Bishop. You know, he cited all the different teams struggling. Bud Black, the opponent that's kicking your ass right now, the Colorado Rockies. Didn't really work there, but they won three in a row. It certainly seems to work in Baltimore, or seems to have worked in Baltimore. The Orioles now have a better record than the Nationals. There was one other team mentioned in there. Baltimore, Colorado, Pittsburgh? I think it was Pittsburgh. But the point being is, basically, what you heard there is Mike Rizzo saying, look, I'm not firing Davey Martinez right now. I'm not giving up on him even after a 10-loss in a row stretch. I'm not giving up on him even after 10 losses in a row, and a comment that was one of frustration that you probably shouldn't have said in the public sphere. And I got to be honest with you. I don't blame Mike Rizzo at all. I would keep Davey Martinez as well right now. Now, talk to me. Two more losses to the Rockies. Maybe you get ambushed by Shohei and the Dodgers all weekend, and he's going to be on the mound and at the dish. Maybe another five more losses in a row, and it's 15 losses in a row. Then we can talk again. But as I leave you on this Wednesday, because this is my last show until next Tuesday, I will be hit and miss on Twitter and all that stuff. But as I leave you, I do not think the timing is right now. Today, this moment, to fire Davey Martinez. And it sounds like Mike Rizzo doesn't think so either. My opinion means nothing. His opinion means a lot. Now, as I said on Twitter earlier this week and on the radio show, he can be usurped by the Lerner group. That's what the dad used to do all the time. Now, the son seems a little bit more patient. Mark Lerner. He seems a little bit more understanding. We'll see. All right. So that's that. Good job out of the Junkies. You want to listen to the whole interview? Go to the Team 980, the Odyssey app, and check it out. This morning at 9 a.m., it was about a 22-minute spot or so. And Rizzo gave some long, detailed answers. And again, he said that he feels that the rebuild really started with the Juan Soto trade. Now, that is fine because, in part, yes, there is some truth to that. But I think as Jake Russell, author of an Nats book, works for the Washington Post, good dude, mentioned on Twitter, in 2020, and I've mentioned this a couple of times. Look, in 2021, they traded Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. That was the official start of the rebuild, whatever Mike Rizzo wants to label it as. They also traded other guys. I think Daniel Hudson was part of that. Trade deadline, one or two other guys. That was the start of the rebuild. Not the Juan Soto trade. The Juan Soto trade officially cemented everything. Officially put the shovel in the ground to tear it down. But they had already torn a good part of it down. They had already ripped the roof off and maybe taken down some of the studs. They bulldozed the whole damn thing in 2022. With the Juan Soto trade. It's not accurate for Mike Rizzo to say, oh, the rebuild didn't start until the Juan Soto trade. All right, back in a flash to wrap it up. Dumb Dumb of the Day next.
Luka with two for the win. Tipped up and in. Will it count? LeBron James at the buzzer.
Oh, hi there, LeBron. Yes, hi, you, LBJ. You who makes $150 bazillion a year. LeBron James is mad because the ring culture in the NBA is too much. He says a ring is a team accomplishment. He's correct. Push back on the idea of a player's individual greatness, measured by how many championships he wins. Quote, trying to nitpick an individual because he was not able to win a team game or a team match or whatever the case might be. I don't know where it started, but it's a long conversation, especially when it comes to me individually. He said on the Mind the Game podcast with Steve Nash, a podcast I will never listen to. But because it's on the front page of ESPN, I saw it. And that's about as much as I'll do. LeBron, listen, man. You don't make $100-plus million a year to win 46 regular season games with the Los Angeles Lakers and to go out in the first round. That's not what they pay you that money for, man. The notion that you don't expect you or your fellow athletes to be judged by what you do in the playoffs is absurd. You're right, it's a team game. You're right, it's not all your fault. You're right, it's not fair. It's reality. It's common sense. Something and a world that apparently you don't live in. Again, I'll never listen to that podcast. You guys can listen to it. Mind the Game podcast with Steve Nash, LeBron James, saying, woe is me. They're too critical of me because I don't win enough playoff games. The ring culture, as he called it. Yeah, everybody wants to win. That's the whole goal. It's not to get you, it's not to get Bronny James good quality minutes. It's to win a championship. Don't be a dumbass, LeBron. You know better than this. All right, that's going to do it for us. Craig Hoffman is coming up next. Thanks to my guy, AMAC. Great job as always all week. We're all off tomorrow. Well, something will be on. Simulcast, whatever. Because of Juneteenth, I'm off on Friday. I don't know who's in. I'm off on Monday as well, so I won't see you until next Tuesday. Maybe I'll see you at Nationals Park tonight. Maybe the Nationals won't lose. Thanks to AMAC. Again, Craig Hoffman up next. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Russo. Goodbye.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.